Hi, this is Heather Esposito, and this is Leadership by Design. Welcome to today's episode of Leadership by Design. We're excited to be back with you for this month. And in this episode, we're going to do something a little bit different with a roundtable discussion on how to navigate hybrid work. And today I'm excited to be joined by members of my team, which you've met them in different capacities. Today we have Lauren Zuli, who is the Senior Learning Strategist and Internal Coach and leads our Coaching for Leaders program. We have Jared Major, who's a Senior Learning Strategist and leads some of our psychological safety work and facilitates leadership development programs. And Erica Powell, who's a learning strategist that focuses in on some of our onboarding efforts, as well as supporting leadership development and coaching programs. So I'm really excited to have all of you here today because I think we represent some unique perspectives. You know, Erica, you're located in West Michigan near our corporate facilities. Jared, you've always been a remote employee. Lauren, you've had the benefit of being both. You've been in West Michigan working at one of our corporate offices and now are working remote. And I've always been a remote employee and leader. So I wanted just to talk about how we've been able to navigate that, how we've been able to work successfully together and collaborate, and also what we enjoy about the ability to choose the office and why that would be a preferential work location for some of the things that we do, and just see what we can uncover today that may be helpful to not only our own internal leaders, but leaders who may be listening and trying to figure out how to navigate this when some of their employees may not be in on certain days, or they may have teams now that are more spread geographically and trying to figure out how to make this work. So where would be a good place for us to start? How about, we've been home now for almost 2 years, a year and a half. What do you miss about the office?
I think I'm the one closest to the office, so I can start. I think there's pieces as I think about the collaboration. I miss a whiteboard and being able to gather around that.
Yes.
And sticky notes on a whiteboard and really being able to make those projects. I feel like sometimes things are taking a little bit longer because we're not able to do that, or we haven't been able to spend that time together, or we might crank out something in half a day. It's now scattered over a couple of weeks as we try and navigate everybody's schedule and trying to find time on calendars to interact with each other. I think the other piece is that community aspect, and through that community, the information shared that by running into somebody in the hallway or at the Design Yard coffee bar, that I feel like I have less connections to other teams than I had before, because I have to be more deliberate about seeking out those rather than just running into somebody. In fact, I was at main site yesterday and ran in, like I was struggling to get to a meeting room because there were people there and I was running into them in the hallway. And so I was late for this meeting. And I was like, oh my gosh, I haven't had this, and like wanting to stop and have that time to just run into people. And it was like, sorry, I was late because it was for Lauren and Jared, but that I was, but having those conversations were so much fun to be able to just have those moments in the hallway running into people.
Yeah, I've noticed in the virtual world, you have to be much more intentional of creating those moments that are just more purely social in nature, where in the hallway, you might comment on somebody's outfit, or you might talk about their kid's baseball game. And sometimes we come into these virtual meetings and it's like, whatever the task or the topic is, and it's easy to get trapped into just the work conversation sometimes.
So as you say that, Heather, one of the things I noticed yesterday, which you would not notice on Zoom or Teams or whatever, is the people's shoes. These women I was running into had amazing shoes and I was like totally jealous, but something like we wouldn't see right now as we're on all these conversations. So that really resonated with me when you said that.
Well, that's probably because I don't know the last time I wore shoes to work. You don't want to see my shoes right now. How about for you, Jared or Lauren?
Yeah, I'm just smiling listening to Erica's story because I don't have the same experience as she has. I have been my entire time at Herman Miller, I've been in a remote position because I started in sales. And so I was calling on the field. And so I was based here in Southern California. And what has been interesting for me is almost the reverse of when everyone was sent home and they said, okay, we're not going anywhere. I had this moment of, all right, now you all know my pain, because there is pain with it. The pain was that I'm a social person and I like to be around people. And previously, before quarantine, it would be maybe 3 to 4 weeks that I may not go to an office. At week four, that was usually when I hit my boiling point, that I was starting to get restless. I would feel my energy change and my work and all of this. And so I knew I wanted to be back in a facility. And I don't know what it is about the facility, being around the people or being around the environment, but it just changed my whole demeanor about how I showed up. And so now that we were all going to be working from home, it just changed it for me. And I was like, okay, now we're all in this together. And people started shifting the way that they were working. And so we were getting on cameras more and we were having more of these virtual happy hours. And I was finally getting connection that I felt like I was losing. So yes, it was now longer than 4 weeks, but I was getting more connection than I did previously because other people were shifting their habits and the way they showed up. I got to be honest, there wasn't a huge shift for me working remotely before lockdown and then working remotely during it. So that was actually a really big benefit to me. Although it did hit me, to answer your direct question though, Heather, about what did I miss, was about 2 to 3 months in when I remember talking to one of our leaders and they said, did you hear that new news report? This might last for 2 more months or 3 more months. I was like, no, I can't do this for 2 more months. And here it's now, what are we on, month 18 of this still happening? And now we're slowly going back, which is great. And I'm happy for that. And there's some upcoming opportunities we have to be in person. And that just makes it kind of the light at the end of the tunnel. And I miss that. And I'm excited that we get to go back and I get the opportunity to see the people I haven't seen in 18 months. That's been really tough.
And so when you go back or when you take your next trip, what is it that you're most looking forward to? Is it the social aspect?
The really good coffee that I don't have to make myself. That's not it. It might be that. I don't know if I can pick one thing that I'm most excited for. I think there's just gonna be some, well, let me answer it this way. One of the colleagues on this call here, Lauren, who you'll hear from in a moment, I actually had a chance to meet with her in person because she came to California. And that was such a unique experience, similar to what Erica was saying. You just kind of like, oh, this, I had never met Lauren in person. And so I remember scanning, because we met in a coffee shop, right, Lauren? And it was like, I've seen you on video. I don't know where to look. I don't know what you're wearing. It's like that when you first meet someone for the first time. And it was like, oh my gosh, like that must be her. That person really looks like her. And over, and you have your safe COVID hug because we've been vaccinated and it's all fine. And we talked about it, but it was nice. And so that was a really special moment to have that. So I think just seeing people, and people are going to forgive me because I don't think I'm going to know how to form a sentence. The first time I see somebody, I'm going to be so overwhelmed with, who are you? Why are you here? What's happening? This doesn't feel right. Mom and dad, parents are going to be mad that we stayed out past curfew, because it kind of feels like you're breaking rules, like seeing people. So I don't know. I don't have the best answer for that, but certainly I am excited to have those first awkward 2 minutes of seeing everyone going, how do we do this?
Yeah. Lauren and I recently, a few weeks ago, had our first opportunity to go back to the office first, you know, post COVID, and I'm a hugger. So that was like, I needed to touch people and give them a hug. And it was just exciting to see people not in a small window screen. I do want to come back to something you said earlier, but I want to hear from Lauren first about, you've had the best of both. You've had the opportunity to work remotely, but you've also been an office employee prior to, or full-time office employee. What do you miss and what are you looking forward to?
Yeah. you know, I'm a very sensory person. And so my cognitive processing is sensitive to my environment, the physical location, the people, emotions, energy. And what I have noticed is that while I am somewhat of an introvert, I really enjoy just siphoning energy from others. And I noticed the shift for myself when we did go 100% virtual during the time of COVID, that I had to be more intentional. I had to be more thoughtful about bringing energy for myself, actually showing up for myself, not just in the meetings with colleagues, but how do I start to energize myself around my work? Because I didn't have that resource available to me the way that it is available to you in the office. So I guess what I miss most is really that energy, the energetics of being with people, being in an environment, right? We know this from biophilia, a lot of the connection to nature, the connection to our physicality of the rooms, the tactile, the materials, everything about that really helps to create the mental and emotional environment that you are inhabiting. And so I miss that. I miss that, especially working at a place like the Design Yard, where it's incredibly aesthetically pleasing on the eyes. It's really, really lovely. And it does create a whole atmosphere for yourself. So I miss that. I miss, you know, just personality and the way that we wear and wear ourselves, right? The way that we just hold ourselves in expression physically is so different. And you don't see all of that when you're looking at a thumbnail on the camera. And it's like a, I don't know, 3x4 inch box. I want to see all of you. So, but you already know that. I mean, I'm a somatic coach. So a lot of it is really about that body mind connection. And so everything that I kind of bring to my work and what I love about my work is kind of all of that. So I think those are the things that I miss most. Certainly collaborating on projects too. I completely agree with Erica. It's much easier to get up to a whiteboard and grab a couple of markers and hash something out than to try to pull up Muriel and move the screen around to see where everybody's sticky notes are and where did we write this. And while it's really exciting to learn a new skill, try on new software, and grow in a different environment like that, it doesn't have the same connotation. It doesn't have the same impact than when you are doing it in person. So those are some of the things that I personally miss. But you know, parts of the virtual environment that I think has stretched me and allowed me to grow in different ways is being thoughtful, deliberate about getting to know people in a different way. You kind of hone in on language, right? Because we don't have all of the resources available to us the way that we would if we're with somebody, right? All of the body language that I've noticed myself kind of leaning in to really pay attention to the words that people are using and really honing in on the way that they're saying it, the tone that they're using. So that has really sharpened my listening skills quite a bit. And also just being a little bit more methodical of looking at people's environments too, right? So I don't have their whole body to pick up on, you know, how they're feeling in the day. So maybe looking around the room, getting a feel for like what their taste is, I don't know, everything. It just is it's a helpful way to kind of just take it's a new opportunity, I think, to kind of stretch and grow yourself and how we actually start to communicate, how do we connect and how we can effectively do work together.
I appreciate what you said about the energy piece. The first time I facilitated virtually, that environment was so different about the energy I could pick up on and what I had to be aware of, because I got such a small piece of it than you do in the full room when you're in person. And then to the point of the environments, I feel like that has in some ways increased some other personal connections, because you get to see mementos in the background or something that's important to you. You have books in your background that I had in my house as a child. So it was like a different connecting point that I would never have known if I only knew you in the office environment. So I appreciate those things.
Yeah. Yeah.
I may be a little biased, but I think that we do a really, really good job of working effectively in the hybrid environment, knowing that we're spread out. So sometimes we need to work synchronously together in a workshop. Sometimes we need to work together asynchronously, and that we have really great ways of communicating with one another to make sure that we can be successful. What do you think leads to us being so successful in accomplishing our work?
I guess you are biased, Heather. But I guess I'm biased too. I think we do work well together. So yeah. You know what? Yeah, I'll join your camp. We do work well together in this one. I don't know. I have nothing to compare it to. I wouldn't know. But with that being said, I there's two things that are coming up for me when I think about what probably could be something that has worked successfully. Two things is when we all came together as a team. Now, we came together during a lot of this lockdown and remote working as the four of us here. And so I think we're kind of forced into this idea of, okay, how do we virtually do this? And two things that I remember, the first one was that we had what's called operating agreements. And that was a really helpful tool, especially for someone like Lauren. I'm going to keep picking on Lauren, but I had not met Lauren. I knew of Lauren because of a coaching program that we were going through, but I had not worked with her personally. I had worked with Eric in the past and I had worked with Heather. And so things like the operating agreements are really helpful because this operating agreement just says, here's my preferences in terms of my communication. Do I prefer to get a text message or a Teams message? Do I prefer to have handwritten cards? I don't think anyone wrote that, but I mean, we had the opportunity to put that on there. We had, what are your core working hours? And I don't have children, but I care very much about joining these like 4:30 afternoon workout classes. And so I put that on there and that was respected and it was honored. And it was like, absolutely, if that's going to be something you need, like that was accounted for. And so right off the bat, it was like, we could just be comfortable sharing what our preferences and needs are. And then it was kind of like, okay, so what's yours? And so I got to understand a little bit about each person here and what they prefer and what they would choose to have differently. So the operating agreements was very helpful. And I remember, Heather, you introduced us to that document. At first I was like, boy, this is a little overwhelming, filling out a document about what I like and what I don't like. But I'm telling you, that was one of the best exercises I think we did. Making kind of the unknown known. And of course we got to write in there whatever we wanted to write. So you could be as forward as you wanted it to be. So that was one too. And I think the second item that has helped us is one thing that I was feeling during one of these weeks when it was just a lot of virtual calls and still feeling sometimes connected, sometimes disconnected from the organization was, could we get into a practice of just once a week having a consistent touch point? It doesn't need to be long. It doesn't need to be anything intense, but look, maybe on a Monday, let's talk about what are the five things that we are focused on this week in our own individual work, our collective work. And I asked that request, and I think I mentioned this on a previous podcast episode, that was met. And we now do that. And even when we can't do it because if someone's on vacation or something, we still do it virtually, which is great. Erica is probably the best at doing that. She always remembers on Monday to put her five things in there. And there's been things that she has put that I maybe had forgot that she was working on or realized I could add some value to that, or I wanted to know more because of another project I was working on. And so that consistent, and I'm going to make that key word, it was very consistent, our practice of doing that every Monday, whether it was virtually communicated, voice to voice, or if it was written down. I remember those two things have really helped us, and we still continue to do those.
And Lauren, what would you add to that?
Well, Jared mentioned that the three of you have worked together before. So you came in as almost like a formed team, right? And I remember joining and I was like, okay, I need to be really intentional about having time with each one of these new colleagues individually so I can get to know them personally, but also just to have more time with everyone, right? I came in, I wanted to make sure that we didn't create any in-group, out-group. And I had conversations, like outward conversations about that with all of you, which was really helpful for me as what felt like a newbie, right? Even though we were a new team together, I felt like I was the new kid on the block. So I would say that for me, what I feel is really effective for us is that there is this openness, this willing to have transparent, authentic dialogue. And I believe that we can do that because we all very deeply believe in psychological safety and we're passionate about the work that we do. So we really do embody it and live it and breathe it out. And so I truly do feel that that's probably the most important piece to me, is the fact that we create safety on our team to, I can have a conversation with Erica. I can give Jared feedback. I can ask Erica for feedback. I can ask you for feedback. We can all collaborate together in a way that is disarming, that isn't necessarily going to put anybody in a threat position. I would also add that we have a touch point throughout the week, which is just a time to connect and say hello on Wednesday mornings. And that actually came out of a co-facilitation meeting that we used to have on the calendar, where we're doing some trainings, and that there wasn't a need for that anymore. And we're like, okay, well, do we want to give everybody this time back? And one of the co-facilitators wanted to actually like keep it on the calendar and turn it into more of a social hour. And that was really great. So we have a midweek kind of connect just to see how's your life going? What's going on? Who's going on vacation? What's new with your kids? I think that is really, really critical too, is just to have a personal dialogue around your life during the work week too. So that helps us to be, I guess I would just say, authentic with each other. It helps us to have just a more robust way of working, where it's not just tactical all the time.
Yeah. So if there's a leader listening today that says, I hear what you're saying, and I hear what you guys have created, but I don't even know where to start, and I'll just open this up to the group. Like, what advice would you have for a leader who is at the very, very beginning of this journey and wants to start creating that more open environment with their team?
The one suggestion that I would have is to actually call in your team, invite them into a conversation. A simple conversation of, hey, I would love to really discuss how we might be able to work better or more effectively, but through the lens of really identifying like what's going to work for you. Like, what is it that you want to see in order for us to kind of come together and create more connection, create more safety within the team, and see what emerges, right? As a leader, I think being able to be in the listening seat is really important, to hear from your team what it is that they need. So really just inviting them into an open dialogue and sharing your perspective too. Like, what does it look like to have a effective, highly connected team? Perhaps it's sharing a little bit more about your personal life, your passions, what you do on the weekends, whatever that is, that's really going to help to create kind of that communal feeling.
That's great. We've been very intentional about that, I think.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I would add to that too. I think about one of the social needs of trust that we talk about, and trust is about feeling included and belonging and having that. And I remember when we joined because Erica and I joined similar time, but when I can speak for myself, when I joined the talent management team, I realized I was joining a team that had been assembled before I was here. And that came with a lot of culture and norms and maybe some habits. And I wanted to be part of it. I wanted to be, but I also knew it was their thing too, but I wanted to kind of understand that. And I do remember having some good conversations with the leaders of the team that said, here are some of the things that we do. We're thinking about doing this. What did you do? And I just remember loving that this is what we do, because I wouldn't want them to change everything because I joined the team or because Erica joined the team. I want to be part of what was working really well. And I think this is probably what Lauren was talking about earlier. Maybe she felt too, joining the three of us, because we had a history, but like you still want to respect and honor it because it's great and you want to be there for it. And you're still excited about what can be new. So I think I'm just really thinking about your question here, Heather, about like what can the new leader do is just be open about what you did have and what you do have and what works well and what the team enjoys, because they might really want to latch onto that and keep it going. So be very open about kind of those norms and expectations and habits and behaviors and some, I mean, inside jokes that always helps to fill people into. Trust it was a keep up for me.
Yeah, Eric, I wanted to ask you too, because it's been mentioned a couple of times that we all had worked together. And at that time, that was pre-COVID, and there was a team of approximately 10. Five of them were permanently remote in the field. Five of them lived and worked in West Michigan. And I would describe early adopters of hybrid because they didn't have a fixed office location, but they would come to the office and use several of our facilities. Being somebody that was on the West Michigan based side, what were some things that you were really thoughtful of to make sure that even if you were all together in a room and we were virtual to make sure that we felt included? And what else did you find worked well between those environments? Because you had a chance to see it from a different side.
Yeah, I think it was really being intentional about the setup. So when we were having group meetings, how could we be acknowledge that it wasn't just the people in the room and, oh yeah, by the way, there were people on the phone. So how did we include them both in the dialogue and also like the technology piece? So trying to find spaces that allowed for that when that wasn't a thing yet, really, or very limited in that piece. I think also, you know, I think back on my time and I feel thankful for the teams that I've had. So I've been here almost 10 years and I only had an assigned space for maybe that first, I don't even think it was a full year that I had an assigned space. So we've been on this journey and seeing it evolve over the years has been really, really interesting to see just how far we've come in those conversations and being intentional about that. I also think, you know, Heather, as you were saying that, we've done some fun event type virtual things too, where we're really being intentional about sending things ahead of time. So, and that could be digital things or physical things. Like as we're having events, we did an event for new hires when COVID started, and really being intentional about how could we share some of that culture piece through physical things that we would send. So even as small as like snacks and some Herman Miller swag that we could share as part of that journey. So I think being intentional about whether that's a physical thing or a digital thing that people can collaborate on. I think we do that a lot with documents too. And that's been a best practice for us for a while, is sending documents ahead of time. So it's not everybody trying to crowd around the screen and see it, but how can we do some of that prep ahead of time so that the times that we are meeting is around that collaborative, having the conversation, not just reading through pieces as well.
I think the thing that I've loved most that we've adopted as a convention is just the routine use of shared documents versus sending them as email attachments and wondering if which version we're on and did somebody make edits or not. I was actually just working with someone the other day and they didn't know that you could just go up in the top and share it directly, where somebody would get an email saying you've been invited to be included in this document, and being able to be in there at the same time or even to track changes and see who contributed what has been really, really helpful and cut down on so much confusion and additional emails that aren't needed. I think that's been one of the best habits that we've adopted in terms of communication.
Yeah, I think that the other piece of communication, Heather, as you say that, is around the adoption of the video. So while our old team was definitely on the phone a lot and collaborative. I think it's made a big difference to be on video and have that be a best practice. I think being able to, in that limited body language, we were talking about that earlier, the pieces you can't see in person, but utilizing the video to help at least with a little of that, to be able to share expressions, see, and I know, especially amongst this team, we use it a lot, right? We know each other well enough that we can, based on somebody's face, be like, okay, they're processing, or there's a question, or we need to address that. And so being able to utilize that as a tool, because I know that there are companies and organizations that don't do that all the time as their standard practice. And even within our organization, there are pockets that don't use that. And we know it's exhausting. And we know that there's pieces and times where it may not be appropriate, but especially as you're getting to know a team, to be able to have that shared experience of being able to read somebody's body language and facial expressions has been really helpful in the transition that I've seen through this time.
I agree. I don't know how the rest of you feel, but you hear some people talk about like video fatigue. I find it energizing to be able to see you eye to eye and connect. And
yeah, I do as well. And what I would add to this conversation is I feel that because we are, all of us are really safe with each other and comfortable being on camera, that when we actually need a moment to turn the camera off, because we are facilitating, because we are in meetings all the time, that we ask that. And I'll just kind of turn the table back on Jared. And we had a meeting last week sometime. Jared just was like, you know, I've been on camera all day this whole week. Do you mind if we just take this one on, turn the video off? And I was like, absolutely. In fact, I'm going to go walk my dog while we have this conversation, because we didn't need to be in front of a screen. So that was really helpful to be able to just ask to when you need a minute to kind of turn the video off and perhaps like utilize a resource that you, I don't know, are underused or have been overused. So.
Well, I think that's really, Heather, that made me think of something. It's interesting too, because being remote, I was always doing conference calls before this happened. And 2% of them were using video. So which means 98% of them, I wasn't doing video. And I was like, I'm just fine. I'm not going to do the video. And I remember getting some pushback, and this was good. It was good constructive criticism. But like, Jared, you say you want to connect more. Here's research that says that video could help you do that. And I was like, no, I don't want anyone seeing my house. I don't want it. And then I gave in. But it's a good ending to the story, because I was like, oh, actually, this has been immensely helpful. So yeah, I have to eat my own words there. But yeah, because it really did connect. And these people that I maybe saw once a quarter, because that's, as a remote employee, the opportunities at the time I would have to see them once every few months, I got to see weekly. And it actually felt like I was going to work, and I was going to work with my coworkers because I saw them every day. So as a remote employee, it was a good experience. Still is. But yes, Lauren, there are some times she's right. I was like, I'm over this for the day. It's the end of the day. I can't
That's
do
fair.
It.
That's yeah. fair.
Jared, hearing you talk about that makes me think about some of our earlier days with the organization. And we used to be encouraged by some teammates and leaders to cover our cameras. It was something that we didn't use, and it was almost like, why would you even have that as part of your laptop? And I was sharing that with someone younger in the organization, newly out of school, and they just thought that was so funny that it was so not utilized because it's become part of their daily life and our daily life to access that camera and have it on for a good portion of the day.
To our point of norms and agreements, you can create new norms. Like, it wasn't a norm, but now it is. So as we think about more and more companies are starting to welcome their employees back to choosing the office as one of their preferred work locations, some companies, you know, are doing it right now, like we are, and some are, you know, looking at early 2022. But as we help leaders think about ahead of time, being proactive. What is something that you feel like we need to be really cautious and aware of, or something you're afraid, a lesson that you're afraid we might lose from this time that we can be really proactive about making sure we don't retain that and go back to old habits or things?
I think it's for me, it's the open dialogue and the feedback that we've been able to create and the culture that we've been able to create as we're all on this level playing field of having everyone on video rather than some in the room and some on camera. And I think the thing that I've loved about as this team has formed and as I've come on to the larger team is that candid feedback. It's something that I've been seeking for a couple of years and didn't feel like I was necessarily getting. And so being able to have that foundation of trust and belonging to be able to have these, we talked about it earlier, but the feedback loop that we've been able to create and those candid conversations have been so valuable to me. And I think that as we head back, that continuing that and being able to share those stories and that information and just create that loop. I think about as I joined this team, Heather, we went from peers to then you being our leader. And I really wasn't sure how that was going to go. And I think that the open dialogue that you created from the beginning, from those operating agreements to just having those conversations, laid this foundation where now I feel like I have such a great relationship with you and the rest of this team that as I go back to the office, because I am the one that's local, I can say like, hey, this is what's working. This is what isn't. And it for us, it's almost the flip where we think of the remote tent have in the past been the what we'll call out group or the harder to integrate. Now I'm on the reverse side of that where I'm the one in the office. And so how do we continue these conversations to say, hey, this is what's working for me. This is where the support that I need. And also how can I support you? There's always been kind of this thought of the person in closest to headquarters has this extra level of knowledge or insight or being able to get things done. And it almost feels like that's reversing for our team a little bit with just the makeup of the composition of the team. So how do we continue to have those open dialogues? I think it goes back to the things we talked about in the beginning, the operating agreements, having that foundation of psychological safety that I know that I can share those concerns openly with this team and we can figure them out together. It doesn't feel like us, them. It feels like, okay, we're in this together and how can we continue to support each other to really get the work done, the great work that we've been able to do.
I agree with you. My peer team is largely a West Michigan-based team. There's a couple of us that are remote, but pretty much everyone else. And so I guess for me, one of my fears is that the meeting after the meeting or the kind of conversations that typically happen as people walk out of a room, you know, not being there for those, or what did I miss out on that people kept talking about once they hung up the phone? And so, you know, what does that look like? How do I have conversations with my peers about that? How about for you, Jared or Lauren?
A different answer than Erica's, but for me, since I will stay remote, and working with a team that will be more hybrid, like that will go into the office more. I had my first experience with a hybrid call yesterday with Erica, and it was an interesting experience to be on the remote side, to see them back in the office and see that interaction happen. One thing that I actually very much appreciate about the call, and I didn't think I would till I'm having this conversation, is I remember about 2 years ago when there would be a conference call with maybe four or five people in the room and then maybe two or three remote participants. And all of a sudden, the whole five people would start talking about something and we weren't on camera. So I don't know what they were talking about. And all of a sudden they would start laughing and they would like, all of a sudden these jokes are being made. I'm just sitting here, no camera. I don't know what is going on. So yesterday, what Erica did in this call is she kept her camera on our computer. And I appreciated that because I saw a few people walk in and I saw her kind of direct her attention to something that was happening in the room. And I felt like I was there though. Like I didn't have that same feeling I had 2 years ago because they weren't on camera and she was, and she chose to be on camera for that. And though she was in person with a few people, and I was thinking, I wonder why she's on camera. Like I actually thought that for a minute, because she's in person, why would she be on camera? And realized, I think she was doing that on our behalf, and I stayed on my camera so she could see me. And so that was the other thing. I think it would have been a little uncomfortable if Erica was just on the camera herself. So I think it takes two parties to do that. But I would say with people going back to the office, I hope they still utilize the camera for people who are remote, who won't get to see those things that happen that you're all laughing about. We want to be part of the jokes. That's for all people.
Interesting you say that. I was in a meeting yesterday where two people were in the office and they both still got on the camera. Mm. Intentionally from each of their computers, even though they were sitting, you know, like physically distanced, I don't know, 5-6 feet away from each other in the same room, but they both got on their cameras to provide that equity of experience. And we asked them, are you in the room together? They're like, yeah, but we wanted you to be able to interact with both of us and not just see one and the other being on audio. Or it's good to see us experimenting and trying different things and what works and what still provides what feels like an equitable experience. So lots to learn from experimentation. Anything you wanted to add, Lauren?
No, not really. I would probably say that I think communication is probably paramount to just keep that as open and transparent as possible, and for an environment where you might have some people that are on camera or not on camera and can't see everything that is going on in the room. To Jared's point, it's helpful to just talk through what are you doing? If you're writing on the whiteboard and the camera's not positioned at the whiteboard and you can't see what's being written there, make sure that you are being deliberate in articulating everything that's going on in the room. So how do you create that environment in a way, like recreate that environment for the people who are remote? And bring it. Think about it through the lens of what they might be experiencing, right? Or remember what it felt like when you were on that side of the camera at one point in time. So it really is about empathy. It is about equitable experiences. And just as we possibly can, just be mindful and considerate.
That's a great way for us to wrap up today. This is a journey for all of us. This is an experiment to find and discover new ways of working and to look at the work that we're doing and choose our work location based upon the people we need to see, the work we need to accomplish, the amount of privacy we may need, and being able to choose from a number of locations that support our work and to benefit from being together, collaborating in ways that it's not always easy to do when you're all virtual. But we're in the business of helping customers design their spaces. And so part of our experiment is really in service of helping our customers learn how to do this so that we can say, here's what we've tried, here's what worked, here's what didn't work, here's where we found sweet spots. So it takes all of us coming together and learning together to make that all possible. But I agree with you that communication really is at the crux of that. So I appreciate all of you joining and being willing to share your perspectives and your experiences and helping leaders learn just about what are some of the things that to consider, even things that you may not be even used to thinking about if your previous experience has either been all in person or all remote because we were just responding to current conditions. But now we've got a lot more variety to consider. So I appreciate you coming to share and for participating in this conversation with me. All right. Well, as we wrap up today, remember that everyone deserves to have a great leader. So keep working at being the best leader you can be. Until next time.
This podcast is an original production of Global Talent Management at Herman Miller Group. It's hosted by me, Heather Esposito, and produced in music by Sean Beck.